You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's 25 minutes after 7. This is the second final hour of Business Sense with me, Nayelu Pondwana, standing in for Tapelo Moloi. This is Business Sense, and our guest for tonight is Benjamin Lela, who is talking to us about the challenges and opportunities of remote work. So let's hit the challenges first before we talk about the opportunities. What could be a challenge for remote work, Benjamin?
I'm thinking about this now. For example, from the perspective of a boss or a leader of a company, you know, who is traditional in general.
Okay.
You know, we have those traditional leaders who want to see you on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, want to get involved in what you're doing, you know, face-to-face, engage with you and the like. You know, with remote work now,
yeah,
I can see a big challenge there, you know, of communication, you know. I mean, there's reduced face-to-face communication and there's reduced collaboration in general.
Okay.
Which can be a big issue here.
Okay.
You know, because we need to communicate effectively, right?
Yeah.
For us to be able to meet a goal as a company. Remember, when we're working, we've got our goals, the aim, and all that we're working towards as a company, right? As a corporate. If we then have a disconnect in our communication, you will find that you won't get anything done. You know, we've actually seen most companies, you know, closing or downsizing because of this. And so face-to-face communication is reduced, collaboration is reduced, you know, and then, you know, some people might fail to navigate that.
But you guys, you tech people, have introduced us to Zoom, to WhatsApp video call, to Microsoft Teams, Google Meets, you know, all these applications that have afforded us to be able to do the face-to-face thing, though virtual, right?
Yes, which is true. Mm-hmm. We've tried to put in place tools so that we can make our work easier.
We'll
be able to communicate and collaborate. I mean, with Microsoft Teams, it's now a whole ecosystem that you can everything. You can chat, share, you know, documents, etc. Using these various tools,
right?
But you also need the know-how of how to, you know,
to navigate
use
them.
Number one,
right?
Number two, of which that's why we're there, train people and to help people.
Absolutely, yes.
But then there's also the issue of, you know, for example, if you text something on a chat, right?
Yeah.
It's easier for someone to misread or to pick the wrong tone.
I've experienced that one. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yes. You can actually say, okay, so this person was trying to say this or relay this kind of information, but then the recipient has received it maybe with a negative
bias. That's right.
Instead of you collaborating and finding a way forward, the person might actually get defensive.
You know? Yes.
Yeah, and at the end of the day,
so many times, Ben.
The meeting which was supposed to take maybe 30 minutes, you know, can actually stretch for 2 hours.
Yes.
Without getting anything done.
Trying to sort out the miscommunication through text. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So there's that. Maybe another challenge that you might note is that of the decay that happens within the culture of a company. And you know, when someone is working remotely, they might not pick on some of those things that are the information and maybe the attitude or the culture that is shared within a company. You know, so someone I'll take for example, at some point, I worked as a tele sales person. It was just a small contract soon after college. And that was my first encounter with remote work.
All right.
It was at that time I was supposed to, you know, call people.
Yes.
Right. And sell a product to them, you know, on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, using tools like Avaya, for example, which allows you to call and do all those other things, right?
Okay, okay.
So you see, when you're working with such, right, you would find that there are people who could sell more because they understood the culture of the company.
Right,
some of them
right.
used to work from the office at some point, so they managed to learn some things before they started working remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who just started working remotely, you find that their sales were probably lower
most
of the times because they just didn't know how to, you know, navigate. And, you know, that culture, it wasn't passed. That knowledge transfer didn't happen for most people. So you find that there's a bit of a challenge there. The company culture is usually eroded when there's remote work being done.
Okay.
And then you find as well the other things like, you know, maintaining a good work and life balance.
Forgive me for interjecting there. We'll get to the good work and life balance, but let's talk about the culture. Is this something that can be evolved by the times in which we live? I say this because if we're talking about a company culture, this is something that is influenced by all the participants in the company, right? Or is it something that has to be followed because this is how the bosses want it?
Yes and no. So let me put it this way. When it comes to the culture, you find that the culture is formed by a community.
Right.
You know, by a community. So as a group of workers within a company, we are our own community, right? So we can actually discuss these things and work on, creating a culture which works for the business and which actually propels the business further. But then you find that there are also other people, like the managers, they need to be proactive on this, you know.
Yeah.
Try to identify gaps and plug them before they affect everyone else.
Okay, okay.
And try to shift the culture in the right trajectory so that people can actually join in. You know, we now need leaders who lead from the front.
Yeah.
Who are team players, not just leaders who bark instructions to others.
Yes.
But they should be now more involved, you know, on a daily basis. So, yes, it's possible to actually shift the culture so that you fit the business model that has changed. Yeah, but it's by no means easy. It needs, dedication,
Of course.
And, it needs a lot of effort from all members or staff, workers from each and every level.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So forgive me, Benjamin, I interrupted you. We're talking about the work-life balance. Go back to that. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. On the work-life balance, have you realized that possibly post COVID-19, when people started working remotely, you'd find that there are two major issues that I realized.
Yeah.
Number one, now some people would actually start underachieving, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, you're working from home, no one is really monitoring you.
Yeah.
Yes, you can, you log into your system and you can see that you are on the system and doing something. But then the rate at which you are doing your things, it might be lower because probably someone is watching TV while they're working, you know, for example. Yeah, and for, maybe the ones with the young ones, the toddler won't even understand that you're working.
Yes,
so
yes,
when they
yes,
need you
yes.
To prepare a treat for them, when they need that attention, you know, they just want to play with
absolutely.
You might end up playing with them for an hour or two. And instead of working for 6 hours, for 8 hours, you probably work for half the day.
Okay.
So your results are definitely going to be lower. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's also an issue of other people who are social beings. In general, I mean, as human beings, we're social animals, right?
Yeah.
So the people, remember, we've got different personalities. The people who find comfort in, spending time with other people, that makes them efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other people who thrive when they're alone, in a quiet place, where there are no disturbances. Yeah. So for those who are more introverted, for example, who thrive in quieter places and when they are just themselves and their thoughts, you'd find that those people would probably overachieve, you know.
Okay.
Everyone would say, okay, is this the same person who was giving us, you know, mediocre results?
Substandard work. Yeah,
now he's giving us A-grade work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are people who benefited from this.
Okay.
But then, most of those people know how to balance their work.
Like, all right.
You know, work and life.
I hear you.
There are other people who then suffer. Because they need to talk to so-and-so for them to feel better and to work effectively.
Right.
So those people's results will probably start dropping.
Of course, of course.
So, yeah, the work-life balance is it's very important to maintain, but it's very hard. You know, some people, we've seen the surge in, you know, mental illnesses.
Yeah.
Those have skyrocketed, especially from the time we had COVID-19.
Tell me about it,
Spending time alone for a month in lockdown. Yeah, it's just you and your woes, at home. So some of those people started suffering from, you know, mental illnesses and the like. So, yeah, it's really hard to maintain that balance. But, of course, companies need to then think ahead, you know, come up with, you know, solutions. Let's have a wellness day for people, you know, where they meet at least once or twice a month, to reconnect, you know.
And of course. That social aspect. You're right, yeah.
Yes. So that's my...
The challenges.
The work-life balance.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe one thing that we can talk about, of course, I'm skewed to cybersecurity, and I know the risks that come with remote work.
Yeah.
I mean, we've actually seen a surge in, you know, security breaches for companies. Yeah, I mean, when you're working in a closed environment as a company where everyone is there physically,
right?
I can then, as a security officer, I can then, you know, manage my environment better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see who's doing what.
Yeah.
You know, which sites are they visiting, you know, all those things. So you can protect the organization better.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But then when someone is working remotely, they're on their own Wi-Fi at home, etc. Of course, they might be using maybe VPN and the like.
Yeah.
But it's easier for them to leak, you know, critical information to other people and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that security breaches have been high.
Right.
For remote workers. You know,
I've seen some companies using some technology that is going to block the devices that they have given you, so that it can only be working in the company network, even though you're virtual, even though you're working remotely. Has that not helped, perhaps, to keep the companies protected?
It has, but you know, most of those software that come, you know, with a price. You know?
Okay.
Yes, so you find that you need to then have a good balance in your pocket, you know, knowing what to buy and to what extent you want that solution to help you.
Yeah.
So you find that some companies actually end up over-investing there, which gives them another challenge of, you know, financial issues, you know, is very hard to then manage your finance, etc. and the like.
Tell me, Benjamin, is it ever possible to over-invest in security, especially if you know that a breach in your security could cost you millions? If you're a big company, it could go to billions of rand. So what's a million or a couple of million to invest in cybersecurity or in any kind of security for work that should be and that will inevitably have to be done remotely? Surely these are expenses that should be budgeted for and foreseen and expected, right?
Yes, to some extent.
Okay.
Remember, as companies, I'm sure everyone operates on a budget, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If the company is properly run.
Right.
So you can forecast for, you know, your year, for example, and say, okay, so how much can we spend towards this and that?
Yeah.
What is essential? So you need to then come up with a list of all the essential projects and maybe software, etc., everything that you need.
Right.
Right. And then you need to do proper scoping of, you know, the resources, because it is possible to actually over invest.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I mean, for example, you are a small company,
mm-hmm.
maybe 10 employees.
Right? All right. Okay.
But then we see you running on an expensive software.
I hear you.
You know, which caters for 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Said, okay, fine.
I hear
maybe
you now.
You are going to grow in future. And it's a good software.
But not now.
But you really need that kind of software.
I hear you. That makes sense. Yes. I hear you. Okay. Okay.
So it is possible. So you need to be careful.
Okay.
Invest in what is essential.
Got it.
And plan for the future. But don't then break your bank.
That's something then that you, Benjamin, in your field would then be responsible for, or your contemporaries who are into cybersecurity. If you're a member of that team, then you'd be able to advise that company that you work for that, guys, we are only a team of 10 or 20 people, and therefore the best security measures for us are worth this amount of money, and this is what we need. We don't need to invest the one that caters for 1,000 people. That's something that you'll be doing, right?
Yes.
Of course, definitely. Of course.
Yeah, okay. Of course, as a team, you know, we've got different roles, but cybersecurity, generally, you need to see all those things.
Yes. So
that's why you were heavily involved even on the budget.
Okay.
To get on.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Because they need to show them the way and at least to show them, okay, so there's this and that you need to take care of first before you. This and that.
All right. I don't want us to run out of time, Benjamin, before we go on to the opportunities. It's now 18 minutes before the conclusion of our conversation. So allow me to take a breather and come back. When we come back, we can get into the opportunities. Is that okay?
Awesome.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.